this prayer of Om Agyanate Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shurun Militam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Yena Bhudale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sipadati Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhudale Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Samaniti Namane Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prajani Deshtarane. Okay, we are discussing Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text 32, Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'm reading Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before I go to the purport, this verse is talking about our attachment to this material world. Now, we misidentify with this body. We think we are this body. And everything related to body, that's what this verse is speaking. We misidentify with modes of material nature due to false ego. And false ego means me and mine, the concept of me and mine. But there's a question here. The question is that why do we have this concept of me and mine? Why are we attached to this material world? That's the question. And this question is important because philosophers or Mayavadis, they say that, well, you are attached to this material world. False, you think this is me, this is mine. You take knowledge of scriptures and get rid of this misidentification. Simple. So with knowledge, you can be freed from misidentification with this body and this world. That's their proposal, Mayavadis. But that's wrong. That's wrong. Only by knowledge it's not possible to get free of this misidentification. That's why Prabhupada starts the purport with this statement: illusioned by material nature, living entity identifies with false ego. Why do we have this false ego? Why do we identify with this material world? Because of illusion. Prabhupada starts the purport by this statement because this is the most important statement which will help us to understand this verse. Otherwise many Mayavadis also comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. And when they comment on Srimad Bhagavatam, they say, yes, sense organs are attached to modes of material nature. And modes of material nature are produced due to false ego, me and mine. So take knowledge. Get rid of this misidentification. Simple. But it's not simple. Because this false ego of me and mine is due to positive illusion. Now there's an example given for this. If you have a squint, in Srimad Bhagavatam it comes 11th canto. If you have squint, everybody knows what squint? Squint? If you have squint and if you see moon, you will see two moons, not one. Because you can try squint. You'll see everything two. But, well, you know it's one moon, but still you can see two. Your friends, you know reality, that's just one moon. But if you have squint, you see two moons. You see double. You can try if you put your eyes like that. Everything seems two. So in spite of knowledge, in spite of knowing reality, it's one, still we see two. Because we have squint. Similarly, in spite of this knowledge that I am misidentifying with the matter, we'll not be able to leave this misidentification because of the influence of energy. That is illusion by material nature. Prabhupada says Maya. Prabhupada is talking about Maya here. Maya is a positive energy. Maya is not just misidentification. It's not just ignorance. It is, we are influenced by some magical power. There's a difference between ignorance and magical power. So I might not know about something that's called as ajnana. Ajnana means you don't know something. But this is not ajnana. We are being fooled by some energy of Lord, which is called illusion, external energy, or Maya. Now, this is clear. Now, this means, the consequence of this is, Just by knowledge, we cannot overcome this kind of illusion. Now, we all know, we have heard so many times, we are not this body. We all know we are attached to matter. We all know that we are me and mine. But still, we can't get rid of it. Because we are illusioned, that's all. Why we are illusioned? That question will come afterward. But Prabhupada says all of the time, we are fooled by this energy because we are punished. That's all. There's a verse in Bhagavatam, Mayam tat chat apashrayam. When Vyasadeva saw Krishna in his meditation, he not only saw Krishna, he not only saw Radha Govind, but behind them he saw Maya. Maya took shelter. She was behind Krishna. The explanation of that Prabhupada gives is that if there's Krishna, behind that there's Maya, that Maya does a thankless job, Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam. People who don't surrender to Krishna, she fools them. She punishes them. We are being punished. The point is, we are being punished. And Prabhupada often said, if you are in a prison, you can know that prison is bad. You can know we are suffering. But still, you can't get out of prison without the help of some person. No, you can get out of bondage. That's Maya. So Prabhupada starts with this statement. So whenever we read Prabhupada's purport, we have to understand Prabhupada is doing two things in his purport, always. And that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prem Prachar Pashanda Dalan. He is establishing love of God. At the same time, he is counteracting wrong ideas, especially Mayavadis. Like all Vaishnavacharyas have some, we hate Mayavadis now. Like we are always counteracting Mayavadis. So this first statement, Prabhupada is counteracting. He's attacking wrong conceptions. As an acharya, as a devotee, we all have to do these two things. Prem prachar, pashan talalan. Ei doi kare kare avdut. Nityanand Prabhu was doing these two things. Establishing love of God and counteracting those ideas which hamper our development of love of God. Prabhupada does in this purport. And this is Prabhupada's insight. This first statement is important. And then after explaining this Maya, Prabhupada goes to explain what is Maya. How does this illusory power trap us? How does it create this illusion of me and mine? And how does it make this, due to a conception of me and mine, and we become attached to it? Now what's the mechanism? Prabhupada explains. Next line. More clearly, when the living entity is entrapped by material body, he at once identifies with the bodily relationships, forgetting his own identity as spirit soul. Maya has two functions. This power has two functions. The first function is in this statement. And the next function is in next statement. Now, what Maya does is, in Sanskrit it is called avaranatmika. Means it covers ourselves with a body and it makes us forget about Lord. That's called avaranatmika. Illusory energy has two functions. Avaran means covering. So it covers our consciousness and makes us forget about ourselves, our soul and Lord, and makes us misidentify with this body. As soon as you forget God, you start identifying with what you have, no? That's avaranatmika first. And the next thing she does is, it's not just she makes us forget about God and we start thinking, I'm this body. That's not enough. Next function of Maya is, next statement, this false ego associates with different modes of material nature and thus the senses become attached to modes of material nature. This next function, prakshyepatmika. She makes our consciousness absorbed in this matter. Not only makes us forget about Krishna, not only makes us remember that I am this body, this matter, but makes us absorbed in it. That's what this word is. Gunatmakan indriyani. Gunatmakan means, guna means modes. Gunatmakan means absorbed in those modes. We are absorbed. Our senses are absorbed in these modes. That means we are attached. Absorption means attachment. That is the Bhagavatam verse, no? 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 37th verse, famous verse. Dvitiya abhineveshita syat ishadapatasya viparyayo smriti tanmayayat buddha avachetam bhakte kaisham guru devatma. Very famous verse. And there that word is used, abhinivesh. Abhinivesh. This word abhinivesh also comes in Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Prabhupada also quotes it in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Purport. Abhinivesh means absorption. And absorption comes by attachment. So Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada translates this word gunatmakan indriyani as he becomes attached to modes of material nature. Okay, so Maya's job is done. We not only forget Krishna, we remember ourselves as matter, we develop a false illusion of false ego, me and mine, we become attached to this matter, we absorbed, she's happy, we are punished, that's all. Her system of punishment is different. In this world, we have prison. In Maya's world, the prison is this body. In this world, we have locks. In Maya's world, we have attachment. That's the lock. And in prison, in this world, we suffer in the prison. We are whipped. In Maya's world, we are whipped by hunger, thirst, old age, disease, birth, death. Six whips. That's what Prabhupada writes. We suffer. So, we are trapped. Now the next statement Prabhupada says, what happens? We are attached, we are absorbed. Now what happens next? Mind is an instrument for feeling different material experiences. This verse says, Manaha sarva vikaratma. So when you are attached, this is a beautiful wisdom, Prabhupada makes this point here. Mind is an instrument for feeling different material experiences. Now there are two points in this. Attachment brings experiences. If you're attached, you experience. If you're not attached, you don't experience. It's simple. For example, if your car is there, you're in a car, and somebody hits your car, you will feel pain, no? My car. When somebody hits somebody else's car, okay, no problem. You don't feel pain. Because you're not attached to that car, no? Just like we go to movies. Movies, they're fighting. We all like to see violence movies, no? The movies are violent, no? Fighting, action. People enjoy that. Violence. But at the same time, if there's violence on your own relatives, you don't enjoy it. You'll never enjoy it. If in the movie, you have your own kid there, and he's getting, you know, he's getting a beating. The parents will be very unhappy. They will be very sad. So parents feel. When children suffer, parents feel. Neighbors do not feel as much as parents do. Because parents are attached. So attachment brings happiness and distress. Attachment brings experiences. That's what Krishna says in Gita. Matra sparshastu kanteya sitoshna sukhatukhada. If you are attached to this word, you will experience happiness, distress, cold, heat. The more you are detached, the less experiences. The less you will experience. That's why yogis, Patanjali Yoga, the aim of Patanjali Yoga is, the perfection of yoga is not to experience pain. That's perfection of yoga. When you're in samadhi, you don't feel pain. There are many incidences where yogis are in samadhi. And, oh yeah, there's a famous incident. There was a yogi, big yogi, I think, oh yeah. Samadhi, lion came and it ate his leg. He didn't feel anything. He was in trance. So it's possible. It's possible. Krishna says, Tam titikshava bharata. Krishna says, if you're not attached, you're not affected by happiness, distress, you have the power to tolerate. You can tolerate. Otherwise, we'll not be able to tolerate those things. So, okay. The next question is, how do we experience happiness and distress? Through attachment. What is a medium? That's what Prabhupada says. Mind is an instrument for feeling these experiences. Now the first wisdom Prabhupada gives is, attachment brings experiences of happiness and distress. And the next wisdom he gives is, that this experiences of happiness and distress is created by mind. Mind is a problem. Vikar Atma. This word Vikar Atma is a problem. You can have same situation. If you're in a happy mood, you don't feel too much. You can have same situation if you're frustrated. You start feeling that situation, no? Is it? So if there is so much problem, suppose there's a problem in temple. People are fighting. If you're in happy mood, okay, no problems, no. We'll bypass. Let them fight. That's okay. There's politics, okay. But if you're in a bad mood and there are problems around you, you'll be affected by them badly, no? Come on, you know. So mind creates experiences. Mind is a movie. There's a movie going on in our head. There's a movie, sometimes action movie, sometimes romance. It's all the same, you know, what we are seeing on the screen. So mind is a big multimedia, you can say. It's a greatest multimedia. And you close eyes and it keeps on working. Keeps on creating different experiences. And a soul is watching mind. Our soul is watching that movie. And it gets affected by those experiences. So that's what mind is doing. So Prabhupada says, mind is instrument for feeling those different experiences. Mind creates those experiences and then conveys those feelings to the soul. So, if we are attached to mind, we'll start feeling experiences. It's like movie. Sometimes it happens, you know, when we were a child, we went to see movie and when he's fighting and suppose villain is beating hero, you know. We start feeling, it's child, no? We start feeling sad. Oh, he's being beaten. And when the hero starts beating villain, you also, you know, you feel good. Yes. So if you identify with the movie, the hero, you start feeling all experiences what that hero feels. If he's sad, you're sad. If he's happy, you become happy. You're identifying with the movie. But if you don't identify, you can see the movie. That's what Prabhupada gives the wisdom. Third wisdom in Bhagavatam we were discussing yesterday. That because mind is instrument for creating experiences and feeling experiences, neglect it. We were discussing? Neglect. The way to control mind is to neglect it. If you fight with it, nothing is going to happen. It's way too powerful. Bhagavatam says it is having God-like power. Way to control small children, you control them like that, no? If some children are making some noise, if you scold them, they can sit for 2 minutes, but afterwards they will again start shouting. Best is give them some toys, okay, play, and then neglect them. Because the more you give attention to children, the more attention they demand. That's child psychology, attention. If you don't give attention, suppose if a child starts screaming, that's normal, every parent knows. If a child starts screaming and you give attention, it will start screaming more. If you don't give attention, it will scream and then after some time it will stop. Nobody is giving me attention, it starts playing again. No, that's child psychology. You can ask any pediatrician or any parent. So mind is like a child, Bhagavatam says. Mind is like a child. That's why Vikar Atma. Is creating so many experiences unnecessarily neglected. That's the third wisdom. That is why this statement is very powerful. Mind is an instrument for feeling different material experiences. Neglected. Let the movie go on. We are soul. We have to understand. We have to serve Krishna. Let it do whatever it wants. But the point is, it's difficult to do like that. It's difficult to not being involved with mind. Because this movie is not outside. This movie is inside this box. And it's going on 24 hours, even without a consciousness. In subconscious mind, it's going on. We get involved with it. So Prabhupada says, intelligence is deliberative and can change everything for better. That's why it says, buddhir vijnana rupini. Now Prabhupada translates vijnana as deliberation. Although literal translation for vijnana is realization, jnana vijnan, but here vijnan means deliberation, means insight. So you can neglect mind by your intelligence. If you start thinking, intelligence is deliberative and can change everything for better. So Bhagavad Gita says, Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya paramana manasastu parabuddhir parasastu hisa. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, if you want to fight with somebody, what do you do? If there's enemy, if there's an enemy, you know, in front of you, what do you do? Where do you attack? You don't attack at the strong point. You attack on the weak point. No, that is a proper strategy. And then you take over the camp, enemy. So, if you attack mind, it's not a good deal. It's way too powerful. You can't do that. So you don't attack. You go to intelligence. Use the intelligence to neglect it. That's what where we have to start. Manasastu parabuddhir. That's what this verse is. Intelligent person can change everything for better. Now, what is intelligence? How do we use our intelligence? That's another question. Vijnana Rupini. Prabhupada writes, intelligent person therefore can attain salvation from the illusion of material existence by proper use of intelligence. What is a proper use of intelligence? That is said in this 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 37th verse. Prabhupada says, Tat mayaya buddha avajetam. By intelligence, we can understand. Merely by intelligence, you don't need scriptures. Simply by intelligence, you can understand one thing. Something you can understand. Then role of scriptures come. What you can understand, Prabhupada writes. An intelligent person can detect the awkward position of material existence. Intelligence can come to two conclusions. Without even scriptures, by yourself, by deliberation, you can come to this conclusion. Two conclusions. The first conclusion is, we are stuck up here. You don't need scriptures for that. If you think, you can come to conclusion. That's what is all Buddhism all about, no? Buddha, just by deliberation, he came to conclusion. We are suffering. Prabhupada says, apply your common sense. You're suffering, no? You're stuck up in this body. So, if we apply this spiritual intelligence, if we just think a little bit, everybody, it's common sense to come to conclusion, we are stuck up in this body. Life doesn't come from matter. It's common sense, life comes from life. But Prabhupada was giving that morning walk Prabhupada was going and he was discussing about life comes from life. So I think Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he was there and he was telling, yes, Prabhupada, but scientists are saying life comes from matter. Prabhupada says, nonsense. Prabhupada says, matter comes from life. And then he gives an example of nail. So he says, see, nail is dead matter, it's coming from life. So, our hairs is dead matter, it's coming from life. But we have no example that life comes from matter. Matter comes from life, that we have example. And I was listening, it is good insight, that's intelligence. Good insight, perfect insight, common sense. Some things can be done by common sense, you don't need science. I was giving a lecture in this Ann Arbor University, so because I preach science, there was some PhD professor of mathematics and chemistry, and they were all sitting. So I told them, see, you're a scientist, but some things you don't need science to understand. You need common sense, and sometimes scientists don't have common sense. They don't have common sense. They're too much into PhD, calculations, this, that, and they don't apply their common sense. It's so simple to understand. Life doesn't come from matter. So you see, you don't need scriptures to come to this conclusion that we are stuck up. Life is different from matter, we are stuck up. One thing. And the next thing is, Prabhupada says, intelligent person can detect awkward position of material existence and thus begin to inquire as to what he is. We are not matter, something different from matter. What I am, why I am subjected to different kind of miseries, how to get rid of these miseries. We are trapped, we are attached, we are experiencing mind, we are identifying with mind, we are suffering happiness and distress. How to get out of this dilemma? This is inquiry. We can get to this just by intelligence. Simple. No need of anything. This Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we are reading Prabhupada's purport, we also have to keep in mind, Prabhupada, when he's writing something, he's always thinking of some verses. It's like verses going in background. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. Ke ami? And then the three questions which Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami asks Mahaprabhu. Ke ami? Who am I? And then what's that? why I am subjected to different kind of miseries. Keno jar, yeah. Kene ami jar tatray? Second question, why I am suffering from miseries? How to get rid of miseries? Third question. This is beautiful. That's why Prabhupada purports are as it is. He's not adding anything. So when we read purport, this is a trick. When you read purport, you can do a quiz for yourself. Okay, which words Prabhupada is quoting? And then you can research, and then that's how you can learn shlokas also. Because Prabhupada said, when you are preaching, you should have some verse in your mind. Either you quote or don't quote, but you should have some verse. Because if you don't have a verse, we'll end up speculating. We'll keep our own ideas, no? We'll keep our own stories. That's what happens mostly in lectures. People start and their own story goes on. You know, it's not connected to the verse. It's not connected to shlokas. So this is that verse. Okay, so intelligence can detect two things without scriptural knowledge, without anything. I'm stuck up. Why I'm suffering? Inquiry begins. And from that point, Prabhupada says, but from that point now you need help of scriptures to take the next step, a leap. A leap is required to go from this point to next point. For example, Buddhism. Buddhism comes to this conclusion clearly. We are stuck up, we are suffering. Okay, so what? They don't have scriptures. So their conclusion is nirvana. Finish everything. So now we need a leap. What's the leap? Prabhupada says. And thus, by good association, an advanced intelligent person can turn towards better life of self-realization. Second thing intelligence does is, it said in Upanishads, by your own endeavor, you cannot get out of this awkward position. Intelligence can come to conclusion that by our own intelligence, we cannot get out of this position. That is supreme intelligence. Prabhupada says, by intelligence, you leave intelligence. That's what we have to do. Because if we keep on applying a logic after some time, we'll get confused. So by intelligence, you defeat intelligence. So that's famous verse, Srimad Bhagavatam. 11th, what's that verse? 11th canto. Yeah, tasmat gurum prapadye jigyasu shreyottamam shabde pare cha nishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. Very, very favorite verse of Prabhupada. So, okay, fine. Buddhism or philosophers, that's a problem with philosophers. They keep on using intelligence, but they're not so intelligent enough to understand that I'm not intelligent. That's a problem with them. And they keep on thinking I'm intelligent. They keep on speculating and come to wrong conclusions. So that's where Prabhupada brings this point. Third use of intelligence is, I can't understand, I can't get out of this problem. Let me go to some person who can help me. And that's what is association of good devotees. He can turn to life of self-realization. That is third use of intelligence. Vijnana Rupini, that's what Prabhupada says. Buddhi Vijnana Rupini. Vijnana means insight. You see, we are getting insight. We are going deeper and deeper. So one depth is, I am stuck up. Next depth is, I am suffering. Next depth is, I cannot get rid of it by my intelligence. My intelligence is insufficient. Let me go to some superior intelligence, scriptural intelligence. Now the role of scripture comes. And Prabhupada says, it is advised therefore an intelligent person associate with great sages and saints who are on path of salvation. This is a very important line. So you associate with whom? Great sages and saints. Now, who is a great sage and who is a saint? And that's said in this verse. Tasmad gurum prapadye jigyasu shreyottamam shabde pare cha nishnatam. A saint is a person who has two qualities. Actually, there's a difference between a sage and a saint. There's a slight difference. Sage is a muni. Muni, Prabhupada, muni means who mananam, who deliberates. And saint is a person who, after deliberation, applies that knowledge in his life. So, that's the verse of Sanskrit. Shabde pare cha nishnatam. Prabhupada is exactly translating this line. Shabde pare cha nishnatam. You associate with person who has two qualities. Shabde means who can understand Vedic scriptures, who can deliberate on the message of Vedic scriptures. That is muni. And pare means who not only understands but applies it in his life. Realization. So you associate with a saint and a sage. Or a person who is both saint and a sage. Prabhupada. He is both. That is why Prabhupada could preach an entire word. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, you know what? Somebody asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how come you are so intelligent? Prabhupada said, I have to be intelligent to control you all who are so intelligent. I must be more intelligent than you. Because you are intelligent and I have to control you. So Prabhupada was both Muni and a sage. He could counteract by logic. He could give logic. Just like in this purport, beautiful purport. Although, if you read just like that, if you don't meditate, you think, okay, Prabhupada is saying the same thing. But it's not the same. He's making a logic out of it. So you go to sage and a saint, Shabde Parecha Nishnatam, who are on path of salvation. Brahmani Upashamashrayam. Third thing is, you go to a person who is a sage, who knows Vedic scriptures, who is a saint who realizes it, and who is on the path of salvation. Upashamashrayam, exact translation of that line, of that verse. 11, what's that verse? Tasmad Gurum Prapadya, I'm forgetting that. 11 canto, 3rd chapter, I think. So, Nishnatam. Nishnatam means who is expert to walk on the path of salvation. That kind of person. Who understands, who follows, and who can make others follow. That kind of person we want. This is his line. Associate with great sages and saints who are on path of salvation. That's what Prabhupada was. Some people understand, they don't realize. Some people understand and realize, but they can't walk on the path of salvation. Some people can understand, realize and walk on the path of salvation, but they can't help others walk on that path. But we need a person who can understand, who realizes, who follows and can help others to walk on that path. And that is Acharya. That's what Prabhupada was. That's what we all have to do in our own capacity. This is a beautiful line. Associate with great sages and saints who are path on salvation. By such association, one can receive instructions which are able to slacken conditioned soul's attachment for matter. So fourth use of intelligence is, you use your intelligence and you come to conclusion, I'm not intelligent. You ask saints. Now saints and acharyas, they have more better intelligence to give you. And what is that intelligence they will give? They will tell you that how to slacken this power of illusion, what to do. And they will tell you some things which you will feel it's contradictory. They will tell you what you can't think by your own mind. They will tell you that, see, this power of illusion is acting on you because, not because of this, because of you yourself. You are attached to this word. That's why this power is acting. You want this. You don't want Krishna. That's why this power is acting on you. You want Maya. There's an example, no? That Ashtavakra. You know Ashtavakra, all of you. He's a great sage. And Janak Maharaj, he called a meeting. Why this illusion is affecting me? Why I'm under this illusion, energy? Why can I see? I can see two moons, squint. I know it's one. I know everything, but still. So everybody was trying to give this answer. Ashtavakra came. And you know what he did? He ran and held a pillar. And he started shouting, leave me, leave me, leave me, leave me. And everybody was saying, he's mad. So Janak Maharaj said, no, wait. He's intelligent. Let's ask him what he's doing. Ashtavakra told, see, this is a problem. You are holding illusion. Illusion is not holding you. And this is quite contradictory because we don't feel like that. No, we feel that I am an illusion, you know. What can I do? I am so helpless. Actually, we want. That's why we are under illusion. Slowly we'll realize that. We don't want Krishna. We want this. We are the problem. That's the point. Problem is not this. We want to blame, no? We want to blame, okay. I'm in problem. I'm so sad because he's problem. This is problem. This is problem. No, you are the problem. The sooner we realize this, the better it is. That is a wisdom these great sages, these scriptures has to give us. By our own intelligence, it's impossible. No, nobody's going to accept I'm the problem, no? If you ask anybody in the street, are you good or bad? What he'll say? He'll say, yeah, I'm a good person. No, nobody's going to call himself bad. But scriptures tell us, you're bad. You have to admit you're bad. In simple words. So that's the wisdom what scriptures give. And scriptures, then saints will give you knowledge of God. Knowledge of God cannot be, we cannot get knowledge of God by deliberation. You can deliberate for millions of years, but you can't get knowledge of God. Because that's information. Information is to be received. You can't produce information, no. It's not possible. You can't meditate and understand God. You have to be informed. Suppose you want to know who is sitting in another room, next room. What do? You meditate. You can meditate for millions of years, you'll never come to know. You have to go and ask, that's all simple. So, saints will give you knowledge to get out of this power of illusion. What is it, knowledge? Gita, Devi hai shukunamai mama maya duratya, ma meva prapadyante maya metam tarantide. Simple. If you surrender, this is God, because you neglected God, because you don't want to serve Him, you are being effect punished by this illusion. So serve Him, that's all, finish. Clear. So they will give knowledge of God. Scriptures are important because they inform us about God. The Prabhupada writes in one purport in second canto, by intelligence we can come to conclusion, I am soul, I am not this body. You can do that. And Prabhupada gives a lengthy purport. But by intelligence we cannot come to conclusion that there is God and who is God. Some kind of hint we can get that there is some creator. We can do. But who is that creator? That is impossible. And that's the role of scriptures and saints. So when we get that, then intelligence, fifth role of intelligence. Intelligent man gradually rids of illusion of matter, false ego, and is promoted to real life of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And the fourth use of intelligence is, Prabhupada says, you get a knowledge of bliss, eternity, and knowledge. The point is, when you come in contact with God by that knowledge, then super soul within our heart, He directly starts giving us intelligence. So that is in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Buddhi Yog. In fact, if you read translation of Buddhi Yog, Prabhupada doesn't translate it as, Buddhi means intelligence, Yoga means link. Prabhupada doesn't translate Buddhi Yog as linking through intelligence, no. Prabhupada translates in the purport Buddhi Yoga as action in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says that's the highest intelligence. So, saints and sages says this is God, and if you want to understand God, serve Him. Don't use your intelligence now first. Serve Him. By serving Him, He will give you superior intelligence, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, by which you can understand that only by service we can understand Him. Simple. By service, you get all knowledge automatically. Super soul helps, He gives revelation. This is called Vivek. Vivek. There's a difference between Vivek. Vivek is a different thing. Super soul then will give you intelligence to discriminate between what is sense gratification and what is service. That's Vijnana Rupini. He will make you intelligent. That's what Krishna is going to do with us. And what is that intelligence? We will not become mathematician or chemistry or biologist. We will be able to understand this is sense gratification, this is service. That is supreme use of intelligence. And in fact, anytime you are confused, whether this is service or this is illusion, many times we are confused, no? Whether I am serving or I am enjoying. Or this is not service. Whether should I do this service or not do this service. This just this benchmark. If any action increases your sense gratification, that's illusion. Even though it might look as service, that's illusion. Any action which reduces your sense gratification, that is service. Because when you're serving Krishna, by His mercy, you get out of sense gratification. And if your action is, if you're feeling it's service, but if you're not getting out of sense gratification, then this means Krishna is not happy. That action is not proper. You have to fine-tune it. You have to change it. Or maybe you have to ask some devotees, how do I fine-tune it? And then we can advance properly. That is Vivek. That is Vijnana Rupini. So all these things, Krishna will help. And by that knowledge, we'll get free of this illusory power and we'll perfect our life. Get life of knowledge, bliss and eternity. This is the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? I just... It's nice, Prabhupada's purport are very logical and systematic. Very systematic. It doesn't look like that, but it is. We treat properly. Any questions? Oh, Mataji. Yeah, yeah. You need a mic. Because this is like going funny. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a valid question. Many people ask that. Why are you emphasizing so much knowledge? It is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means love and service. But that's the point here. By intelligence, you go beyond intelligence. That's why we need knowledge. Knowledge will help us to two things knowledge does. One is counteracting our doubts. See, poison counteracts poison, no? Thorn by a thorn. So doubts, wrong knowledge by right knowledge. So knowledge helps us to get free of doubts. And doubts are a problem. They hamper our devotional life. That's one role of knowledge. Another role of knowledge is knowledge helps us. Knowledge inspires action. Now we understand bhakti is all about service. That's it, 100%. But without knowledge, we'll not be inspired to do service. Is it? Just like, for example, I was reading yesterday communism, Marx. So Marx, he brought a concept of communism. But why? Because there was a legacy of a philosophy behind that. The philosophy of Heidegger, Sartre, all these people. And they got a philosophy of existentialism. That what matters is this moment. I exist, this moment matters. Forget about future, how much we are contributing to the society. We have to look at this. So Marx got all these ideas and he made a philosophy and he could inspire entire world. So that's knowledge inspires action. Action matures knowledge. This is the link between knowledge and action. Third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter. So without knowledge, our enthusiasm will go down. If you understand what you are doing, why you are doing, you get interested more, no? If we don't know why we are doing, then we can do, but no interest. So that's the second role of knowledge. It will help you to do service more and more and more and more and more. You get inspired. That's why we have classes. Prabhupada gives me inspiration. And the third role of knowledge is relishment. Prabhupada gives example of milk. If you want milk, if you suppose want milk, and you like that very much. So we like Krishna, we want him. So you will ask somebody, no, where do I get milk? Which mall? What quality? And then you get the best quality and drink. So knowledge helps to relish. The more knowledge you have about God, the more relishment. Prabhupada gives knowledge of God. And that's a link between knowledge and service. And then knowledge, through knowledge we can understand that service is the aim of life. Through knowledge, our determination. Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, knowledge inspires action. Siddhant boliya na chitte kara alas, iha lage mana, iha lage sudhrida manas. Knowledge gives determination. Determination. And fourth is, if you don't have knowledge, you can't preach. No? And in fact, Prabhupada defines Uttam Adhikari as Shastra Nipun. The difference between Madhyam and Uttam is, Madhyam cannot counteract arguments. He can't preach much. Uttam Adhikari, he is perfect in knowledge. He can counteract. So to defeat, to do service. Now, devotees say, we want to do service. What's this? Now, devotees say, we want to do service. What's the role of knowledge? Well, what's the best service? Preaching. Prabhupada said, that's what we have to do. For preach, you should know. How will you preach? And if we don't preach, then what kind of service we are doing? Prabhupada is saying that that is the service. That's my general instruction. Everybody has to preach. Everybody has to become guru. Prabhupada said, no, it's not that. I don't preach. So, fifth thing, we need knowledge to preach. If you don't preach, you're not participating in movement of Lord Chaitanya. It's not necessary that we have to give big, big lectures for preaching. Preaching, you can preach to one person, any person. You can preach to your friend. But for that, we need knowledge. So knowledge has an important role. But we understand knowledge is secondary. Main thing is service. But it helps to appreciate service, to increase our service. That's okay. Okay. Thank you very much. There's no question. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.